You're listening to the Are You Weddy podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Gaskarth, owner of 87 Events, a luxury wedding design and planning company. I'm here to share my expertise on everything wedding, from straightforward tips and tricks for planning your wedding to advice on how to deal with the inevitable Karens bringing the wedding drama. Stay tuned. Hello, and welcome back to the Are You Weddy podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. You know, in starting this podcast and kind of thinking about how much I love my job, I know I said that on the last episode too, but I do. I really love my job. And while I was thinking about this today, a couple of childhood memories popped into my head. Maybe I'm feeling a little sentimental today. I don't know. But my cousin Amanda and I lived across the stream from each other. Yes, I said stream, not street. We actually had houses that backed up to one another, and there was a little stream in between our houses, and we had to jump over it to get to each other every day because we hung out like every single day as kids. Anyways, so Amanda's dad, Larry, my Uncle Larry, he was like my favorite uncle and just like the absolute coolest guy of all time. And when we were kids, he ran this business that took bets on sports games. Really random job, but he absolutely loved it and was so passionate about it. And he had this tagline at the end of each recording he made, because he did his business over the phone. He would say, "I love these games." And Amanda and I would listen to him say this every single day. And, you know, honestly, I feel the same way about being a wedding planner as he did about his job. I love these games. You know, I think it's so important to love what you do. And if I could shout it from the rooftops, I would. So that's why I'm here. And along the way, I am really excited that we're going to get to know each other. And I look forward to sharing some stories and behind the scenes tips for hosting, you know, an unforgettable wedding, but also getting to know you guys and sharing a bit about my life with you. So in short, do what you love and do it with passion. All right, let's jump right into episode 2 content. So in the last episode, we touched on the first handful of things that you should do when you're ready to begin planning your wedding. And in today's episode, I thought it would make sense to talk through some general tips for booking your wedding vendors. First, let's start with an overview of who to book and when. After booking your wedding venue, you'll want to start by securing any vendors who can only work one wedding per day. This would be your band or your DJ, your photography and videography teams, as well as your hair and makeup services. So let's jump in. Here are some things to keep in mind when selecting your wedding vendors. Number 1, check your venue rules and restrictions before booking any other vendors. Sometimes a venue will have a specific list of vendors that they work with, and this could potentially be limiting for you, or they could have rules in place that you may want to run by your vendors before signing a contract. This could include information about insurance or rules about photography and even what guidelines you have to stick to for decor. Number 2, Instagram is your friend. See who you gravitate towards on social media. Don't just go with what your friend did or who your mom wants you to book. Although I will say, friends and even fellow vendors and your venue could be a great resource to help you find vendors to look at. But I always tell my clients, save everything that you like on Instagram onto a board, and more than likely, you'll be able to spot some trends over time. Although I have seen some clients who either kind of love everything or hate everything or just can't really verbalize exactly what it is that they like or don't like, which sometimes is a little bit more difficult to deal with. Anyways, use social media to kind of narrow down your search. Oftentimes these days, wedding vendors keep their socials way more updated than their websites. You can also go through wedding blogs and publications to find vendors. I even do this as a planner. I'll go to like Carrots and Cake or Wedding Sparrow and look at, you know, hot trends and recent blogs and things and see who the vendors were that were involved in it. And it's a nice way to kind of expand your vendor pool. Number 3, narrow it down to a reasonable amount of vendors. I had a client once who just couldn't decide on photography, and I had started by sending a longer list first just to get an idea of their style. Usually I do that. And somehow the list just kept getting longer instead of shorter, and it really made their decision much more difficult in the end. I usually suggest interviewing a maximum of 3 photographers or videographers. You don't need to interview more than one if you're already pretty sure who you want to book. The point is, don't waste people's time. Every single vendor that you speak to who you don't book, you also have to let them down. You know, keep in mind that consultations take time on the part of your vendors, and we want to give it our all. So be respectful of our time and, you know, don't bother talking to a vendor if you think that they probably aren't the best fit. Number 4, personality fit is so important. This is something that we talk a lot about in my initial consultation call with clients. Not only is it very important to have a really good rapport and, you know, form a friendship with my clients for me as a wedding planner, but it's also important to have a good relationship and a good vibe with your photography and videography teams and even your hair and makeup artists. These are people who are going to be with you for a good portion of your day and, you know, chatting with you and your photography team. Their personalities and how they click with you helps to get the best photographs of your wedding day. Trust me on this. So make sure that you do interview your vendors, even just to hop on the phone and get to know them a little bit. Oftentimes for my clients, these phone calls end up being really, really important in their decision-making process. Number 5, if the price seems too good to be true, it probably is. I have found the occasional diamond in the rough, but generally speaking, when the price is low, it's because the vendor is inexperienced or because the products that they're offering aren't necessarily high quality. So be very wary when the price is low. And I'm not saying don't consider a vendor whose price is really reasonable. I would say just be more careful. And this is going to be number 6, ask for references. I absolutely love sharing references with potential clients. I know that I'm confident in my clients and our relationships, and I know they will sing my praises. So any vendors who seem resistant to share references, or if they're giving you references who are just their friends, I would say this is a major red flag. And I would recommend probably not booking them. Number 7, don't try to force your vendors into a box. What I mean by this is look for vendors who already showcase a style that you like. Now, that being said, I love going outside of the norm and doing things that are new and fresh. So don't hesitate to, you know, ask your wedding vendor, for example, for floral, right? Don't hesitate to ask them to try something new. It may even be something that they've been dying to try, or, you know, that they haven't thought of before, but they really like the idea. All I'm saying is don't hire a vendor if you don't already love their work, because they're not going to change their whole style just for your wedding. So make sure that you're focusing on what you like as opposed to, you know, just going with, like, let's say your maid of honor booked a florist and you're like, oh, well, this just seems easy. I'll just book them and make it work. Don't do that. Find your own vendors. Find vendors that really speak to you. Number 8, when you're looking at entertainment, meaning a band or a DJ, sometimes their online promotional videos are extremely corny, but they might be completely different in person. Try to catch a showcase if you can, or at least ask their managers if you can see some live videos from previous weddings or events. This is such a funny thing because I have noticed this for years, and I don't know why it has yet to change across the board. Some of my favorite wedding bands based in the DC and Baltimore areas have the corniest videos on their websites. And I have to, you know, preface my clients with, proof that they really are good before they'll even consider them. So yeah, so if you can get to a showcase, absolutely for bands, that is the way to go. Number 9, when booking a photographer, ask to look at full galleries of their work. This means like what they would deliver as a finished product to previous clients. And this way you can see a range of photos from an entire wedding day outside of just, you know, what they share on their website or their social media platforms. Now, that being said, and this has been a topic of conversation within the vendor world recently, there was a post that kind of went viral from a great photographer. Make sure that you understand, this seems silly, but make sure you understand that these are not your wedding photographs. It's not going to be exactly the same. You know, sometimes people will latch on to a certain thing that they don't like about a photographer's full gallery, and really it's something more related to that specific wedding. You know, for example, if they wanted to do some more corny poses, that doesn't have to be you. You know, you are unique, your wedding is unique, and you don't have to do what everyone else does. So make sure that you're looking at, you know, is the editing good? Are the pictures clear? How do they deal with different types of lighting? And does it seem like they have like all the important moments, speeches and first dance, cake cutting, whatever it is? That is going to help you in making your decision on photography and looking at those full galleries. Number 10, never, ever, ever do anything without a contract. It does not matter if it's your best friend. Contracts are always necessary, even if it's just to make sure that everybody's on the same page and expectations are very clear. All right, that should be enough to get you started on booking your wedding vendors. Let's take a few questions from listeners. This one comes in from Lauren. How crucial is an open bar? This is really tricky. I think that most people would say having a cash bar feels a little tacky. Now, I don't think that applies to every single situation. I think everybody's situations are different, but generally speaking, I don't think that your guests should have to pay for their drinks. Maybe if you have a crowd that mostly doesn't drink, or if you're having a dry wedding, I can understand making the decision not to have an open bar. But just speaking very generally, for the majority of people who get married, I think an open bar is what is preferred. Next question comes from Cass. What's the main thing a planner does for a couple? We do a lot of things. I always say one of the biggest pieces of my job is managing expectations. In addition to this, obviously guiding the overall design so that it's cohesive, keeping things moving along, moving forward, making sure tasks are done on time. And then, of course, on the day of the wedding, we are sort of your ringleader, managing your timeline, your load in, your load out, making sure everything is running smoothly, catching any problems that might happen. Gosh, there's just so many things. But yes, I think number one is probably managing expectations and guiding the process. That's two things, but hey, I answered two. All right, question number 3 from Tia. What do you do in situations where a couple has over-invited guests? Well, Tia, we try not to let this happen. This is an absolute disaster. You could maybe try to squeeze an extra person at each table occasionally, but you definitely have to do away with chargers or base plates and make sure that the chairs are narrow enough to be able to fit at the table. You could also possibly change the style of the wedding altogether if you're in a real pickle where you know, the fire code says you can have 250 people, but the room only seats 200. And let's say you have 230 people. So yeah, I guess technically speaking, as per the fire code, you could still fit in that venue, but not as a seated event. So what if you change it into more of a cocktail style party where you have seating still, but instead of a seated dinner, you have stations and past hors d'oeuvres, and it's more of a roaming party as opposed to your traditional, you know, wedding timeline. But again, we absolutely try to make sure this never happens. This has never happened to me. I've certainly had clients over invite and then we're a little tight, but we've always been able to work it out. I've never had a situation arise where, you know, the wedding is literally unable to happen in the space because it's too big. It really does mess with your flow and your timeline when things like this happen. So do your absolute best not to over invite your guests. One of my biggest suggestions, and I mentioned this in the last episode, is to do your guest list first and then book a wedding venue that can seat your entire guest list. Regardless of how many people decline, it's always better to have more space than less space. So that's it. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Episode 2 in the books. Again, if you'd like to get your questions answered in our next episode, email me at hello@ruweddy.com. Happy planning.